Well, I guess my first question, Anthony, is how are you feeling after watching everything? Obviously, when you guys live it, that was like a year ago. Now you have to watch it. How was it watching it back, and did anything surprise you?
Good, there's some good memories from it all. It definitely sparked some good and bad memories, obviously. But no, it was a fun time with the staff, with the crew, and with the chefs.
Okay. How, talk to me about the rabbit of it all. How comfortable were you cooking rabbit, and how confident were you going into that challenge?
I mean, it's been a long time since I've worked with it. I know it's a very fickle thing to cook on a regular basis. So cooking in a pressurized environment is even more strenuous. So, I didn't necessarily assume or perceive that I was going to be on the bottom or be eliminated, but I went into the challenge, positive and hopeful as always.
Yeah. Were you surprised by their critiques? Like when you were tasting your food before you served it, did you think that the rabbit was dry or no?
No, I mean, I had the thigh meat that went into the pastry, into the dough, like that was tossed with the braising jus or the braising liquid and then tossed with more jus. So it's very unfortunate that it came out that way. The loin, I do know the way it was edited was a little bit different versus like I didn't necessarily, I wasn't cooking them ahead of time. They were, every loin was cooked for that round of service or plating. And then they were rested and basted in a good amount of butter, but is what it is.
Yeah, I was gonna say you did have like all sauces on the plate that they really enjoyed. Do you feel like, and they called it disjointed, do you feel like maybe if you put the sauce on it or like that could have changed something, or do you think it was kind of just, yeah, the dry?
To be honest, and to not be argumentative, I think saying something is disjointed plating wise during a Michelin themed challenge is kind of contradictory.
Okay. So wait, I'm not a chef, so you explain it to me why.
No, so stereotypical plating for Michelin plates is in a sense where some of the elements on the plate aren't always connected. There is a little bit negative space in between them. And that's just, and even that practice is still held today by Michelin restaurants. Some restaurants aren't even Michelin who still try and obtain that. That's just the way that the plating is done to show the technique and all the individual components. But then it also allows the diner to explore and mix and mingle. They're able to try elements separately with one or two items and like build their journey themselves. So
Yeah.
I didn't mind the dry comment on the rabbit. That one was like, okay, no argument there. But the disjointed on the plating, that one I did find odd.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let me just ask about this thing that you weren't even there for. But Seeger goes out after you and he does speak up about, like, hey, listen, I don't agree with what you guys are saying. Did you ever consider speaking up at judge's table, or were you like, no, I'll just take the feedback?
That's a very good question. I think it's always an interesting situation to be in because obviously those are your peers and colleagues, and then also people who have been doing it longer than you have been normally at judges' table. So obviously they're coming from a very good, strong, solid viewpoint. And I don't always agree with everything that they say, even in the situations where I was in the top or I was safe. I didn't always agree with some of the rules or challenges per se. But I mean, at the end of the day, it is a competition and it is cooking. And I think good food should just be good and win no matter what.
What was your reaction to Seeger speaking out? Because it was a very big thing on social media, and we've seen it in the past. It's just we haven't seen it on Top Chef in a minute.
I mean, I think I don't I don't disagree with him, obviously, because not all of us agreed with every single challenge. And like one of the biggest challenges for me that I didn't really this wasn't that I didn't understand the rules. I thought that maybe the challenge was a little bit, it was too vague. It left too much to interpretation. Was the natural dyes challenge, the color one.
Yeah.
That one was difficult because we had to use natural dyes. Natural dyes fade when heat or acid is applied to them. So to maintain that vibrant color is very difficult in certain circumstances. And for me, at least the way I cook and view food, I wanted the whatever ingredients I'm using to dye my food to also offer color, or sorry, to offer flavor and not just
Right.
color. So yeah, I think for me personally, that one was a tough one because to conceive what we wanted to conceive, and then some of the feedback from the judges were like, oh, I didn't have enough color. Like, okay, but color and flavor should be important. And I was on the top, so it didn't even, not like I'm coming from a perspective of negativity, because
Right.
they didn't say anything bad about my dish. So but for me, I could understand how that was misconceptualized by so many other chefs, because it wasn't, that one was very unclear to all of us.
Yeah, it's funny. I've heard that feedback about that one. And then obviously this quick fire, I was not a fan of that. I thought it was like too toward the end of the quick fire that you guys had to switch.
Oh yeah, that one was, yeah. That
Was
quick,
your reaction?
so because there's been a lot of feedback on us all going a similar route with the dish that we were making. Obviously Sherry went a different route because she was going a tostada route. But then what most people don't understand, and maybe not even, I don't know if the judges or anyone else understood, was like the budget that was given to us
Right.
versus what was available at the store, amazing cafe, amazing everything. But the budget versus the prices, that like they didn't really equate. So of course, when you give all of us a free loaf of bread,
Yeah.
I mean,
You're gonna use it.
if we're spending all our money on earth, like none of us were able to even buy a protein, I don't think.
Yeah, pretty wild.
So yeah, and then on top of that, to then towards the end of the challenge, now if they had done it halfway through, it would have been okay, I'm sure. But towards the end, to make us all switch to the station next to us. I think at that point, either the money should have been eliminated from that quick fire and maybe worked into the elimination challenge, or it should have been divided up like 50-50, or however they want to do it numerically, to where the chef that created or conceptualized the dish received a portion and the chef that executed the dish received. Because in the
Yeah.
last 10, however many minutes we had, like, I think I'm a pretty good chef, but whatever you gave me is what I'm putting. Like, there's only so many changes I'm going to be able to make.
Exactly. Okay, I think I'm on the same page with you. I'd like them to retire that challenge.
Yeah.
Not a fan. I feel for Sherry there. But I want to ask you, I remember at some point quick fires did come into play with your elimination. Is that the case still with you? Because you were Did they say anything about that, or that isn't the case?
What was the quick fire for the rabbit challenge? It was the
It was that one, and I think you originally had a really good one, good dish, right? I'm trying to
So
remember.
yeah, Lawrence absorbed my dish and he ended up on the
Yes.
top of Rhoda, and then I absorbed someone else's dish and I got Rhoda's dish and I was on the bottom. I was like, oh
Yes.
shit, this isn't good at all.
Yeah.
I honestly can't remember if at that stage of the competition, if the quick fire played into the elimination. I would be lying if I said I remembered one way or the other.
No, same, because I know they changed that rule a couple of seasons ago, and I don't know if they changed it back, but it just made me think, like, oh, you were technically could have been on the top of that quick fire, like,
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
but yeah, I wanted to ask about, you were at the top a lot. Like, you won, I think, at least two eliminations. I think you had two or three quick fire wins. When, as it got you know, closer to the end, we're seeing great chefs go home. Did you feel like the margin of error was smaller?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think that the obviously the middle was getting, you know, was decreasing, depleting, and they were nitpicking, harping on certain things. Certain things they weren't, certain things they weren't, which is kind of weird. You know, so
it's subjective still to some degree.
Yeah. And this is all, and I have to be honest, like, this is all me saying that from a viewpoint of just visualizing everything. I wasn't able to taste everyone's complete dishes in every single challenge. So it's literally just my opinion based on minimal fact. I mean, it obviously, as there's less chefs, it is more intense.
Yeah. I know you've worked with Tristan before, who has obviously won the show. Did you get to talk to him at all? And you won Chopped and stuff, so it's not like you're new to competition, but did you talk to him at all before coming on Top Chef?
Just a little bit. I mean, you know, in the sense of what to expect, not necessarily during the competition, but like outside the competition. And, you know, and he said, just, you know, be prepared to have a lot of alone time. And I was like, okay, that's helpful. He told me to cook good food and just, you know, make myself proud.
Yeah. Was there anything else from the edit or anything that we didn't see that you remember from, or you wish they showed more of or anything like that?
No, I think for me personally, or just in general?
Both, maybe. I don't know. Whatever you think.
I think they, you know, they definitely caught us, you know, being crazy and goofy for sure. some real life banter back and forth between us. But, you know, they also did show that we were very supportive of each other in our season, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, Anthony, I thought you were a front runner. I was really bummed to see you go.
You're not the only one. I thought the same thing, too.
I was like, Dwayne, and then you, and I'm like, oh God, this my yeah. picks are leaving. But I guess my last question, I'll let you get back to work, is just, is Top Chef something you would do again if they called?
Obviously it'd be even more intense if I did get a second go at it. But I am very competitive. I do like to be in those situations. I know I seem very calm and all that stuff, but I do like pressure and a little bit of chaos. So yeah, I definitely would do it again.